Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Ghost. And he has so much to say to us, his people. I love him. And I think so highly of the things of God. I know what God can do for mankind. He loves us so much. You know, I told my sister today, my older sister Joan, I told her how the Lord, when I started seeking the Lord in the 90s, he revealed to me some things. And I entered into a knowledge that's just a blessing. And sometimes I try to share it. And you'd be surprised at the response. Very few people would receive like I thought they would. Some did, many didn't. A few did, many didn't. And so this weekend I asked the Lord, why is it that people refrain from receiving things that the Holy Spirit reveals? And so I earnestly put that question before him Saturday, and I wanted to know, because it's amazing how, actually it was Friday, or Saturday, I asked him that, and I stayed out there about it. I wanted to know, because to me, anything that you can learn from the Holy Spirit, if you love God, that's what you want. But, you know, in this world, the Word talks about in Acts how this is an untoward generation, because when they was revealing what God was showing them, the apostles, when they were revealing things, the life of God in the Word, people didn't want it. They got a lot of pushback from the religious bunch, from people that were, they taught the law, the Pharisees and Sadducees, the priests, the scribes. They didn't like all the activity of the Holy Spirit and the way that God was moving on the people. And Peter taught that just sons and daughters would prophesy, and the servants even would prophesy. And so that, you know, the preeminent mind gets offended when now you got sons and daughters prophesying, whereas the Pharisees couldn't prophesy and the Sadducees couldn't prophesy, and in their mind prophecy ended 400 years prior. So now your sons and daughters are going to prophesy, and the preeminent mind don't like it. So, but the Lord is looking for sincerity. Jesus told the woman at the well that the day would come when people would worship him in spirit and in truth, not just some mountain. Really? You gotta worship God on a mountain in Israel? You got people all over the world, but you got to go to Israel to worship? Jesus said, I'm looking for people to worship me and to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And the Lord finds people. And so he poured his spirit out. Now it was supposed to be on the Jew first, because, and that's order. That's the order of God. God is full of order and justice. You know, salvation is Jewish. The Lord found a man of faith and he set him apart. He sanctioned. The Jewish nation is sanctioned to present salvation. So, but they went haywire. They allowed the demonic activity of the people around them to be like, you know, thorns in their side and smoke in their eyes, because they didn't drive their behind out. They didn't drive out the witchy giants. Giants hated God. When you go back to Genesis 6, After Genesis 6, mankind changes drastically. Their desires was only evil continually. God had to flood the whole earth. If God had to flood the earth and only 8 people survived, what does that tell you? Millions of people were on the earth at that time. See, the scriptures follow 3 lines. The line of Cain, the line of Seth. The line of Cain and the line of Seth. Well, Adam had sons and daughters, and everybody they mentioned in that lineage had sons and daughters that didn't die for about 900 years. Most people lived, the oldest man recorded was 969 years old. But Noah lived to be 930 years old. So Adam lived to be 930 years old. I forgot how old Noah lived to be, but he didn't live as long as his grandfather, Methuselah. But in other words, Adam lived 70 years shy of a day. A day would have been 1,000 years. See, you got to look at time like God sees it. In the restoration week, it was a 24-hour period. Evening and the morning was the first day. You know, when you leave Genesis 1, verse 2, all the way to the last verse, until he finished restoring the earth and made man, and then he rested. When he rested, that was the restoration week. And it tells a story of what's going to happen in the covenant week. Now, that's on the website too, our covenant week. It's five broadcasts on our covenant week. It's on the audio 6 page. So, you know, I'll see if the Lord let me. I might put it on the seven, on page 7. But it's on the audio 6 page toward the bottom. Nevertheless, our covenant week, God is doing what he did. Everything he did in the restoration week, he's going to do in the covenant week. So it's important to understand the logic and understanding and the move of the Holy Spirit. He gave us something to go on. On the seventh day, he rested from his labor. Jesus is going to run the earth. Just like in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, a stone was cut out of a mountain and it rolled down and tore up the statue. That's Jesus coming to take back what's his. And he's going to reign on the earth. Now, to answer those questions, I said, Lord, why do people refrain from receiving things of the Holy Ghost? And it's just the nature of man. And there's many reasons. But he showed me something else that really helped. And I'm going to get to that. Today is February 14th. It's Monday, February 14th. I like to give the date if I remember it. I don't always give it, but I want to. Now, this is 2022, February 14th, 2022. And the Lord is moving by His Spirit. He talked about the glory of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form, void, and darkness on the face of the deep. And then the Lord did something. He said, let there be light. Some people interpret it, light be, he said. But nevertheless, he said, let there be light. And there was light. And God, he chose the light over the darkness. He started a division process. Now remember, darkness was on the face of the deep, so the earth was flooded. And according to 2 Peter chapter 3, the earth was in and out of water. See, Noah's flood, it was completely consumed with water, but it was in and out of water at that flood. And the earth didn't look like a planet. See, so if you would have saw the earth from space, once God said, let there be light, and you saw the earth, it looked devastated. It was a devastation. Why was it devastated? Well, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And according to his track record, in the restoration week, everything he does is good. The only time he did something and it wasn't good was on Monday. You know, when God said, let the waters be in one place. He didn't say that. That was Monday. Well, on Sunday, he said, let there be light. On Monday, he said, he divided the waters from the waters. He let all the waters be in one place. Well, he divided the, let's look at it. I don't want to mess up another scripture. God does things in perfect order. Perfect order. And here it is. Verse 3, God said, let there be light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, the darkness he called night, verse 5. And the evening and morning was the first day. See, that's 24-hour period. Verse 6. And the Lord said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Here we go. And let it divide the waters from the waters. So God made a firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning was the second day. But he didn't say it was good because it looked like a mess, but it had to happen. It's kind of like when I'm working on a car doing body work. It looks a lot worse before it looks a lot better. So I can work all day on a dent, and it looked worse than it did when it came. But I have to go through the process, reshape the metal and everything, prepare it. And then I can, when I use Bondo, I get the metal shaped out, and I Bondo it. I use very little. And then it comes out looking good. After I prime it, it starts looking like a car again. So same process here in verse 8. Verse 9 said, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Okay, so when God does something, it's good and necessary. Verse 8, it was necessary. Verse 10, it was good. So, but in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, we got a clue. We got insight to that because the angels, when Job talked about it, when the angels saw the earth being made, they rejoiced. Why? Because it was good. See, when they saw the Lord make the earth, they rejoiced. Because in the beginning, that's the only creation scripture in Genesis. And the other one is where the angels saw God make it and they rejoiced. That's a creation scripture too. And when God made man in his own image, now he made man out of from the earth. So, but when we talk about creation, something out of nothing, Adam was something out of the earth. So, he made man. But when God made the earth from nothing, that's verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So time expired. But see, time was not recorded, as I understand it, until God said, let there be light. That started the clock. That started the clock. What clock? That started the 24-hour period. Time is something God is using for justice. See, that time is a limitation. Remember something about the Lord. He hates sin. He hates it. So, a day to God is 1,000 years. And God hates sin, folks. I promise you, he don't like it. It shouldn't be. It's not something he created, so he don't want it. And it's a contaminant. It's an irritant. And it's invasive. It's like a cancer. So, he has to get rid of it out of his creation. So he kind of just said, okay, well, I'm going to get rid of this. But because he hates sin so much and he don't want it in his universe nowhere, he took 1 week to deal with it. 1 week. So everything he did in the restoration week, he's communicating life to his creation. And our lifetime is short. See, we're everlasting. Once a child is conceived, that spirit will always be. So we are a creation of God, nonetheless, but we're used to time. All right, before the flood, before the first flood, not the flood of Noah, when the earth became void and desolate, the Hebrew word is tohu and bohu, which I don't speak Hebrew, so I'm going to say void and desolate. And he had that tape. Why register time? At the end, you know, it says time will be no more. They don't. Why register time when there's no reason to? There's no reason to, you know, to count it. Because in life, why measure time? Time is to help get rid of something. He's gave it a time, a covenant time. He's going to do this thing within a covenant. That's why I call it the covenant week. He gave us a sample in the restoration week, and he's dealing with what he's going to do. The covenant week mirrors the restoration week, just like Adam mirrors God. Adam is in the image of God. The covenant week is a sample of what the restoration week is a sample of what he's going to do in the covenant week. So we have something to go on. We know that it's going to be just like God said. Now, if it takes longer than 7,000 years, if it takes 8,000 or 9,000 years, then the covenant's broken. Is it not? God has to do it in the time frame. On Wednesday, God said he turned the sun and the stars on again. All right? Jesus died for us on a Wednesday. All right? He died the day of the week that was a Wednesday, not a Saturday. They were trying to rush it along because he died at Passover, folks. And then he rose on after the Sabbath day, the first day of the week. So some kind of way, they decided to excuse the Sabbath day and make it Sunday. Well, Sunday is really the first day of the week. In this country, they count the Sunday as a Sabbath, in other countries too. But that's something that somebody in the Catholic Church came up with. The real Sabbath day is a Saturday. And Paul talked about the days and observing ordinances and things like that. That was a Jewish ordinance, and Gentiles can observe if they want to. But I worship God every day in spirit and in truth, not just limited to a day, to a Saturday. But the reason that the Sabbath was kept, it's an everlasting covenant for the Jews. Also, it's showing us, it's getting us used to the fact that Jesus is going to come and reign the last day of the covenant week. Okay, now, said all that to say this. In the restoration week, everything God does is good. But when he said, let there be light, that's the glory of God. And so if you were anywhere in the universe, the only light was the glory of God. And it's a mighty light. And the glory of God reveals things to people. Now, Paul said, he talked about us growing from glory to glory. All right, and a lot of preachers, wonderful preachers, say they're trying to make it to the next level. They're trying to grow and be faithful so they can go to the next level. It's the next glory. Now, what the Lord taught me about the knowledge of God, I wonder why people would refrain like they did. The Holy Spirit helped me handle holy things. I wanted to know because I was sincere. I wanted to understand. I like to understand God. If I'm going to serve him, I want to serve him right. And if I got to handle holy things, it's important to do it right. I don't want to just go along with something because everybody else does. And I've been taught things all kind of ways. I've been taught as a Methodist. I've been taught, I've listened to Baptist preachers, so I understand that doctrine. And I love Baptist people and Methodist people. And Martin Luther, the great reformer, was a Lutheran, German brother. And you got people in the Episcopalian church, which is elders. And I mean, you know. Then you got the Pentecostal churches and their variations. Holiness churches. They love that doctrine of sanctification. And Church of God in Christ, Then you got all these wonderful churches, full gospel churches, full gospel businessmen. You got wonderful people. Great moves have come out of all these wonderful churches, but there's really one church. So people teach the word of God according to how they're taught. And sometimes they're right and sometimes they're not. So I said, Lord, I've been in situations where one Christian said one thing, another one taught it another way. And one of them was right and one of them was wrong. And sometimes they were both right on something and both wrong on something. An example, I asked, you know, do everybody need the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues? My buddy Terrence said, well, everybody got to speak in tongues, and if they don't, they're going to hell. Because that's the kind of holiness church he went to, which I joined that holiness church as well. I wanted the Holy Spirit, and he kept after me about it, and I ended up receiving the Holy Spirit. Thank God that I did. The other brother who had the Holy Spirit said, well, this, it's God to give it to who you want to give it to. Okay. That's my buddy Chris. He went to the Church of the Nazarene, which is a wonderful church. I learned a lot from Chris. Now, so I said, Lord, who's right? Who's telling me right? I want to know. I want it right. Then I asked, you know, my dad, he said, well, it don't take all that. I said, okay, here we go. I said, well, I said, Lord, I put it before the Lord. And this is why I put things before the Lord. I said, Lord, I want you to teach me the way I should go. And I want to know the truth of this. And I was in a band at that time. We played music. And now our band gets together once a month and have Bible class. We're going to start doing it twice a month, thank God. Nevertheless, we had a guitar player, Keithan Ruff. He was in there. And I told him what Terrence was telling me. I said, well, the guy keeps telling me I need the Holy Ghost. He said, well, you do. I said, well, I want the Holy Spirit. He said, you can receive him tonight. I said, well, I want to receive it. I said, but it's late. He said, because he had told me that his mother and the squad would get together and pray for me. And I could receive it. I said, well, I want the Holy Spirit. I said, but it's late. He said, they don't care. And just like he said, they didn't care. They were happy that I came. And the Lord told them that I was coming. And when they were in prayer, they told me about that. That's amazing to me. But I received the Holy Spirit in their basement at his house. Because I took him home after band practice. So nevertheless, I received the Holy Spirit. And I started asking the Lord questions. And he started answering me. And all the things that I thought was right or believed is true, sometimes, you know, I didn't want to preach something the wrong way. So I said, Lord, when I saw that he'd give me a message, I felt good about ministry because I knew for a fact I didn't know what I was doing. And when you know you don't know what you're doing, that's good. I did not know what I was doing and I needed help. So when he gave me my first sermon, I said, okay, I'm interested now. Because if I'm going to preach, he'll give me a message and I'll preach it and I won't cause more confusion than it's already out there. So as time went on, I kept leaning to the Lord. I knew I didn't know what to do. So I learned all I could, but I let God give me the message he wanted me to give at the time. See, that's the message that I tried to get over to others. A lot of the truths that we pick up that we think is truth and is really not, is hindering the body. Not only that, what we're missing out on, things, because we know one thing, we don't know that we need to know five more things over here. We're satisfied with this one truth that we think we know, and we got it from somebody else, and usually from the kind of church we grew up in, or the church that we became a member of. So a lot of things got by people. And some of it hinders people from learning. It gives people a false appetite. See, if the Lord put it to me this way. When he told me how to, he gave me a better business plan. I asked him why I kept having the same kind of problem. He told me what to do. I said, well, that'll work. I knew it'll work. Because the wisdom of God is first pure, easy being treated, without hypocrisy. you know, it's good. It's nourishment. So, just like in James 3, I said, this will work. I said, then I thought about it. I said, well, Lord, how come you didn't tell me this months ago? I made a lot of mistakes before I got to, you know, now this would have helped me a long time ago. Then he said something that really changed my life. He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. Then I want to know, what else am I missing out on? That's when I made my vow that I'd obey him. I said, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you say. Just like, because his track record is too good. In ministry, he gave me what was appropriate every time I preached. It was appropriate for that audience. Because God knows who's going to be there. And if somebody come that was likely not to come, or somebody didn't come, the message may change. And I had to learn to flow with the Holy Spirit. He may give me a format, and he'll deviate for a while and come right back to it, according to the wisdom that he has. And he and I saw things differently. Now, in doing so, once he showed me his truth, in an unadulterated way, and some Bible scholars like to say rightly divided way, and I like to say the intended meaning of the Holy Spirit. Went to see the Holy Spirit inspired man to write the Word of God. So the intended meaning, that's what I'm after all the time. So I began to see by the Holy Spirit, he got me into more truth, and I'd see it. And then I had a comparison. Well, people that don't do that, they don't have a comparison, and they stick to the ideologies that they have, and some of it is divisive. And it hinders their ministry from growing like it should. So, and the Lord knows how pliable they are or how sincere they are. Jesus is looking for, you know, people to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Sincerity. He told me he was looking for sincerity, and he knows how to get it. So, I'm saying all that to say this. People that are sincere, if you have the foundation, just like I talked in the last two broadcasts, if you keep the foundational things that Jesus taught, everything Jesus taught was foundational, especially the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain, and which was identical, and then also what the address to the seven churches. Okay, if you want to just make it simple, what Jesus said to the seven churches, if you continually do those things, you will always be foundational. And the Holy Spirit can build upon you if you keep your first love alive. That's the main thing you got to do. That's how we fulfill the law. That's how we become born of God, which is not just born again, but it's growing. It's Christ being formed in you. When Christ is formed in you, you just can't sin no more. You have his nature, you have his appetites, you have his strength, you have his might, you have access to all wisdom, knowledge, and counsel from the Holy Spirit. And you have the fear of the Lord when you deviate. So you just can't sin no more when you're born of God. Don't get it confused when the term born of God is not the same as being born again. Being born again is the beginning. Being born of God is when you mature in Christ. When you go on and you leave the cross, the cross is a foundation. You springboard from it. You continue to learn by the Holy Ghost. Not just knowledge, but true knowledge. Now, if a person is foundational, they'll always receive true knowledge. Or they can always receive from the Holy Spirit. Well, some people lean to their own understanding, and it limits what they can receive. And this is the other problem. People believe they're in perfect shape when they're not. And they can't see the difference. They don't have that comparison. And that's the problem. So here comes a much younger person in most cases talking about what the Holy Spirit says. The proud mind will get offended. A person that's steeped in a doctrine, they can't receive it. Knowledge is at war with knowledge. Deception is at war with the truth of God's word. Doctrinal truth is at war with Holy Ghost truth. It's at war with it. Doctrinal truth can be at war with Holy Ghost truth. Because sometimes if people change their theology, then they lose their job. and they already taught. My pastor told me about a man that taught things wrong. The Holy Spirit brought it to his attention, told him to correct it. And because of his pride, he wouldn't correct it. He said, if you don't correct it, you will die. And he died. So when the doctrine of truth can be at war with Holy Ghost truth. But see, when you receive Holy Ghost truth, you got more light. And when you preach it, it's obviously right. And it was just like Nebuchadnezzar's wife. She told his son, when the handwriting was on the wall, go get Daniel. He solves doubts. See, more light always solves doubts. Nobody else could solve doubts like Daniel. She said, go get Daniel. And they went and found him because he was not at their orgy. All right. Now, listen. The things of God is true. The glory of God, Paul said, we're stewards of the mysteries of God. So when you grow to a certain glory, you can receive things in that realm, in the realm of that glory. If you continue to grow, you can receive more. More will be given. So it depends on what stage people are at in their glory, in the glory that they operate in faithfully. For these reasons, they could see it or not see it or not embrace it. And guess what? They're not wrong because they can't be judged from having more knowledge because they just can't get it. But God will use them in the glory that they are faithful in. But they can't go to the next glory until they change some things. And the Holy Spirit, that's why he guides us into all truth. Jesus said it this way. He said, if you bear fruit, I will purge you that you bear more fruit.